Hear God's word as it is recorded in John chapter 5, beginning at the 39th verse. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? May God the Holy Spirit, who authored these words, give us understanding in them, and to God be the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is just conceivable that one reason the reading of the Bible in public schools is being challenged by a small minority today is that the majority of us have neglected the reading of the Bible. It is quite possible that prayer in our public schools is being challenged by a bare minority, because the majority of us no longer pray. The text for the message this morning constitutes an indictment by Jesus against those who boasted in their possession of the Bible, but who failed to take its truth seriously. Search the scriptures, or ye search the scriptures, for it's in the indicative. Ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me, that you might have life. Now the context of this text is the incident of the healing of the man who had been crippled for 38 years. It happened that it was on the Sabbath day that Jesus healed this man. And healing a man who had been crippled for 38 years on the Sabbath was sacrilegious to these religionists. Isn't it amazing how easy it is for humanity to go out of our religion? Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us in the name of religion to repudiate the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ? How do you explain this kind of hardness of heart, this kind of rigid, inflexible, cold, loveless, self-righteous, hypocritical faith that is blind to the healing of a man crippled for 38 years because it was done on a Sabbath day? Well, the answer is in the text. Because this could happen today. This does happen today. The same inflexible, fanatical, cold, hard, loveless, self-righteous attitude. Christianity in which there is no humanity, no love, no Christ. It can happen. It does happen. It is happening. And it can happen when men take the Bible very seriously, as did the Jews to whom Jesus was speaking when he said this. Now, I should like to divide this text into three words, and it helps to remember them, should that be important to you, by a little acrostic, CCC. Has no reference to anything in the past, by the way, politically. Three words. Continuity, confirmation, contradiction. Continuity. The continuity of truth. Or the continuity of the Word. Or the continuity of faith. Continuity. Wherever a man follows truth, he will follow Christ when he meets Christ. And if he rejects Jesus Christ when he's confronted with Christ, he is not a follower of the truth, all of his profession to the contrary notwithstanding. This is a principle in the Scriptures and in life. The man who follows truth will follow Christ when he meets Christ. And if a man professes to follow truth and he rejects Christ, he testifies that he does not follow truth. In the 37th and the 38th verses, Jesus is speaking of those who testify concerning him. He is saying to these religionists, don't believe me for what I say about myself, though this is valid. In a sort of plaintive way, he says that. I come in my Father's name and ye receive me not. If someone else should come in his name, you'd receive him. It's true, isn't it? We believe other people, we won't believe Jesus. Isn't it amazing how we will believe the enemies of Jesus so quickly? How we'll take the word of one who discredits Jesus Christ? How a student in a college class who has been reared in the church of Jesus Christ will take the word of a godless professor like that? Isn't it interesting? How many intelligent people there are who have repudiated Christ and the Bible and the church on the basis of information that isn't even good information. They'll believe anybody but Jesus, it would seem almost. Well, he's saying to these religionists, all right, don't accept me on the basis of what I say for myself. There are others who witness to me. John the Baptist, for example, witnessed to me. But don't base your confidence in me on any human testimony. There are three others that witnessed to me. And he says, the Father witnesses to me, my works witness to me, and the Scripture witnesses to me. Now, this is the context. Verses 37 and 38. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. That's quite a statement when you ponder it. If any other human being said that, it would be absolutely unacceptable. Jesus says it. It's not inconsistent with his person. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. And then a little bit later in the 42nd verse, I know that you have not the love of God in you, for I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. And then a little bit later, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not Moses, how shall we accept my words? Now this is what Jesus is saying. He is saying there is a continuity to all truth. The man who says, I love God, will not reject the Son of God. Of course he won't. And if a man rejects the Son of God, doesn't make any difference how loudly he professes faith in God, he is a liar. That's what Jesus is saying. You don't have the love of God in you, because if you did, you would follow me, for he sent me. The continuity of truth. You don't have God's word abiding in you, because if you did, you would follow me. And then, the coup de grace, so far as the ones to whom he was speaking. I will not accuse you to my Father, but there is one who will, Moses, in whom you trust. This was exquisite sarcasm, because notice what he says in the next breath. Had ye believed Moses? They didn't trust in Moses. They didn't believe Moses. They didn't believe their scriptures. Their scriptures had become a tool to use the way they wanted to use them. Every time they opened the Word, apparently they approached it a priori. That is to say, they only looked for things which supported the convictions which they held. And they were blind to everything else. They looked for proof texts to support their position. Now he says, you who profess to trust Moses, you who say Moses is our great lawgiver, you who say I believe what Moses wrote, the first five books in the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you don't believe Genesis. You don't believe Exodus. You don't believe Leviticus. You don't believe Numbers. You don't believe Deuteronomy. Because if you did, you'd believe me. That's what he's saying. And in the day of judgment, you will be accused for rejecting me by what Moses wrote in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The continuity of truth. Wherever a man is interested in truth to obey it, when he is confronted with the truth as it is in Jesus, he will follow Jesus. And wherever there is a man who professes to follow the truth, if when he is confronted with Jesus he rejects him, he is not, has not followed the truth. Do you see that Jesus Christ insisted that he was the criteria for truth in history? The Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God. One of the first things that happens to men who reject God is that their intellects are darkened. Thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's how you explain intelligent men who will not follow Christ. Their minds are darkened. The light has gone out. They cannot see. They walk in blindness. Continuity. Confirmation. In the Scriptures, that would be the Old Testament, for there was no New Testament. In the Scriptures, now hear the language carefully. It's the same in all of the translations. In the Scriptures, you think you have eternal life. But you can be misled. For they, the Scriptures, testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye may have life. Basic to Christian faith is the person of Jesus. At its heart, Christian faith has a man, a God-man, Jesus Christ. Not precepts or principles, not ethics or an ideology, but a person, Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are important because they reveal the person. The Scriptures are meant to bring us to Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life in Scripture without Jesus Christ. Let it sink in. Be careful. Be careful. When your study of the Scripture does not bring you to Jesus Christ, because when it does not bring you to Jesus Christ, it brings you to the place these religionists were who crucified Jesus Christ. The Scriptures, the Word of God. Paul says, we do not corrupt the Word of God. We do not handle the Word of God deceitfully. It can be done. They were doing it. It is being done today. There is one way to evaluate one's use of the Bible. Does it draw him to Jesus Christ? Does it bring him more and more into submission to Jesus Christ? Does it warm his life and fill his life with love and make his life more Christ-like? Or does his life crystallize and harden and become fanatical and impatient and censorious and critical and loveless and self-righteous? What happens when you study the Bible? This is a very practical and relevant question, because Jesus' indictment in this text was against this contradiction. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me that you may have life. What an amazing abuse of the Bible. What a treacherous misuse of God's Word. What consummate hypocrisy in the guise of taking Scripture seriously. Now notice, you search the Scripture. It's the word erunao. Investigate. One translator puts it, you pore over the Scriptures. One can almost feel their intensity as they study the Bible, as they analyze, as they compare verse with verse and passage with passage, as they pore over the Scriptures, and with what unmitigated duplicity. You will not come to me. Here it is. Here's the clue to one thing that happens somehow in the Church of Jesus Christ by those who are most serious about the Bible. They do not come to Jesus for life. Subtle. But it happens. You know people like this. I know people like this. They use the Scriptures instead of being used by them. They possess the Scriptures instead of being possessed by them. They make this precious book their servant. And who can measure the incalculable damage that they do? They crucify the Son of God afresh. Ye will not come to me. Oh, how Jesus Christ softens the life, warms the life, quickens the life. There's no eternal life in the Scriptures outside of Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful when people let the Scriptures bring them to Jesus. And they become just like Jesus. With His love, His compassion, His gentleness, His tenderness towards sinners. Compare the attitude of the Pharisees to sinners and the attitude of Jesus to sinners. They knew the Scriptures. They boasted of the Scriptures. They didn't know Jesus. Well, if the contradiction is true, and it is, there's a positive side to it also. Whoever comes to Jesus has eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Just come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thou bidst me come to thee, and that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without a defense, I come. Just as I am, with my failure and my sin and my shame and my weakness. Just as I am, I come. That's the only way you can come to Jesus, just as you are. in his letter to Rome, chapter 10. Paul says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he asks three interesting questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's the sequence. That's the order. A preacher, hearing, believing, calling. Now, there are some who don't even have a preacher. There are those in the world today that don't have. And that's one of the reasons that we give offerings every Sunday morning, that those who don't have a preacher will have one. But there are those who have a preacher, and they have heard, but they haven't heard. It has gone in one ear, not the other. Hearing, they hear not. And seeing, they see not, lest they be converted. And they don't want to be converted. But there are some who have a preacher and who hear and who believe. But they don't ask for salvation. They don't call on the Lord. They don't come. Now, you've had a preacher, and you've heard, but have you heard this morning? If you've never heard before, you've heard this morning, but have you heard? All right, you've heard. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you? If you do, have you called on him for salvation? Have you come to him? If you have not, come. Come now. And there are some of you who have been really preoccupied with the Scriptures and you've gotten a long ways away from Jesus. And you're aware of the hardness in your life. And you're aware of the love that you've lost. And you're cold where you should be warm. And you're critical, where you should be compassionate. And you wonder, what's the matter? You're studying the Word. And as you get harder, you study harder. And you get harder. This morning, you come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. And let him drench you in his love. Let us pray. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen.